Podcast. Rich Keith. It's the Dork Podcast.
And David.
It's the Dork Podcast.
Hashtag.
It's the hashtag Dork Podcast.
Any of these little fuckers ever pop out of the fucking wall and say, fuck, there's a horse cock in my room or a donkey dick?
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Hashtag Dork. Actually, I shouldn't say another episode. The episode of Hashtag Dork. My name is Rich Keefe, joined as always by Davey Eyeballs. All hail the king of ginger ale. It's Ryan. Davey, how are you?
Still staying curious.
Oh my God, stay curious. That is going to be... That is going to be an all-timer.
Our soundboard is going to be jam-packed with this shit once it comes out.
It's going to be flooded. We're not going to waste any time. We just did our Last of Us Season 2 recap. We talked about some of the movies that are coming out. So we're going to spend all of our time on the topic du jour right now, right? We're not going to pussyfoot around.
Y'all ready for bisque?
Let's go.
Well, I'm glad you
have a lot to discuss. Yeah.
It's the topic of the day. And today it is finally. The Tim Robinson movie Friendship, which had a limited release a couple of weeks ago, and it was actually tough to find a theater. There were some in Massachusetts, but it just wasn't everywhere. And then this past weekend, it was more readily available. It is 1 hour and 40 minutes in length. It is currently getting a 89% by the critics on Rotten Tees, 75% by the audience. It made under $10 million so far this month. It was seventh. And honestly, I'm a bit surprised because when I was looking to see where to go, first of all, the theater I was in was a smaller theater, but it was full. It was completely sold out. And when I was looking at other like theaters or where I might go, there was like 2-3 days in advance. There was already like half the theater was like snapped up. So I'm like, people are seeing this movie, but I think it must be such small theater that or small seats that they're not making a lot of money.
It's a niche thing too. And it was weird. I don't know what my goddamn luck is with like seeing movies in theaters, but like I always go with the weirdest fucking people, like the weirdest people. Ugh. And this time it was an elderly couple and they're like what I'm guessing is like a live-in caretaker person.
Awesome. Good choice.
Because for film. Yeah. And they were like laughing, but at the same time, like they, there were things that happened in the movie that they would like explain to each other, but like really fucking loud. So like everyone could hear it. Like, oh, remember they went into the sewer. Remember like being like really loud. I'm like, Jesus Christ. And I'm like, turning around staring at him. I'm like, what are we doing? And, like the caretakers being like, okay. You know what I mean? But
I saw it with Shark. Me and him had a nice date.
So jealous. Yeah.
We had sloppy steaks and then we took in a film and it was exquisite. We had a wonderful time. Jam-packed theater, people who clearly were in on it, and they enjoyed it very much. But let's start as we always do, spoiler free for Friendship. Ryan, did you like it?
Yes.
Pause. You're pausing. Pause.
Yeah, I'm pausing because yes, I did.
Okay,
but like, I think you should leave. I think I have to watch it like 3 more times.
That's fine. It'll be in the theater for a little bit.
Well, like it's one of those things. Like it's going to get better every single time I see it. Yeah. And I feel like the first run you miss stuff.
I agree. Yeah, that's definitely true. And then like, just like some sketches you end up liking a little bit more.
Right.
Like, Crashmore wasn't my favorite. It's still not my number one favorite, but now every time we play or talk about Crashmore, we fucking.
What are we 10 years old? I've seen every cock on the planet.
Hilarious.
But it's also like these like little things, like we'll talk about like in spoilers and stuff, that like little things that are kind of like recurring jokes in the movie that like you kind of don't, you might miss. And so I know that there's like shit I missed.
Oh yeah.
Give me that.
I'll tell you right now, by the way, is it just me? Someone could say that you're like really choppy, like your video's choppy and like your audio's choppy. I don't know if it's just me.
I am.
Yeah.
Oh no, curses.
Yeah, you like skip every once in a while. I don't know if it's really? Just me or yeah.
Ooh. All right. Ooh. In the chat, let's see, where's my audio coming in? It says it should be my thing. Son of a bitch.
That's right.
Well, let me know if I am.
For it. Yeah.
This would be a great episode for that to have happen, but what are you gonna do? So I loved it. I absolutely loved it. I enjoyed it. This is my cup of tea. I agree with you. I think as this goes forward, there's gonna be things that become very quotable. And there's gonna be things that make it funnier and funnier and funnier as we go. I was not moved to tears. And so Tim Robinson and the show has many times moved me to tears. I think Chunky, Carl Havoc, I think the Ghost Tour, and maybe a couple of other ones legit moved me to tear, like sweating, crying tears. I don't think I was in sweating, crying tears, but I laughed like throughout the movie.
There was a magic setting in this movie where twice, and it was in the same location where I laughed out loud in a not packed theater. So it was like kind of obnoxious, but like,
yeah.
We'll talk about that in spoilers.
All right. Our comedy's back.
This is such a weird, cause it is kind of dark.
Yeah.
Like it's super dark. But I want to say like, I hope so. I hope comedies, people look at this and be like, people love this weird, awkward.
Yeah.
Like oddball humor thing. Like let's lean into that.
I feel like the movies are different, but there's something about like Tim Robinson's sort of like circle of buddies from like SNL. Like MacGruber wasn't a hit, but it's super popular now. Like there's like a lot of these like cult comedies. So like even like Popstar or Hot Rod weren't popular. I feel like the people that were in the theater on Friday and over the weekend are the people that like those movies. And they're like, this is going to be that now. Like, let's not wait for 5 years for us to like this. Like, let's get in on the ground floor now, you know? And then the other movies people are comparing it to are like, and they're different than, but like Cable Guy.
Yes. That was the first thing I thought of, was like, it's very kind of Cable Guy.
There's Cable Guy to it. People were talking about, I Love You, Man, like the other Paul Rudd movie.
Yeah.
Banshees of Inner Sheeran. Cause it's like a weird sort of like, just the idea of adults trying to become friends is a
specifically men. I think that's like a and like male friendships, like on their face.
Yeah.
Are fucking weird.
It is weird.
Yeah. Like I made me like examine my own life and my own friendships. Cause I remember like the first time I brought Rye around to like me and like my friends from home.
Yeah.
She's like, you guys just shit on each other. Like, all like the wives were in like one room, like talking, whatever, but it was like a split level house like yours. So like they could hear us downstairs and it's like, you guys just shit on each other, like mercilessly. I was like,
we even like each other. Yeah. We love each other.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, absolutely. And she's like, that's weird. I'm like, is it? Because that's just what we do.
Yeah. I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
I think, I was curious how basically like, I think you should leave character, how that could be for 90 minutes, because there are some sketches where you're like, all right, we've kind of done this one a little long. Like even like Calico Cut Jeans is not one of my favorite sketches. And you're like, I think we've spent enough time with this guy.
And that's like the longest one, right? It's like 10 minutes long.
It's long. Yeah. I didn't think it was a problem. Like I was in on it the whole time.
I was more shocked that like, looking at the end credits, that like Tim Robinson didn't write any of this.
Yeah.
But I wonder if like the writers were like, just do your thing.
I think so. I think the guy who either wrote and directed it or just wrote it, I don't know if it's the same guy. I can look that up.
He wrote and directed. Yeah. Same guy.
Same guy. So he's like friends with Tim Robinson and like wrote it specifically with him.
Okay.
He's like,
Very him.
Yeah.
And you can see, like I think you should leave kind of through lines, go through the movie.
Yeah. I think the writer had the idea, same things that we were talking about, like a dude in his probably 30s or 40s and like trying to become friends with another guy in his 40s. And so like, he just went down this whole rabbit hole, but then like, as he was doing that, he's like, Tim Robinson would be perfect for this. And he was. I'm curious how Tim Robinson is going to be in movies. Now he's probably going to be typecast, which is fine.
It's what's weird about this. I was thinking the whole time too, like he could do a Sandler thing where he could do like a very serious movie. Cause there are some like, not, I won't say dramatic, but like things that like required him to actually act, and he did it.
He could do it. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and even if in the beauty of his sketch comedy is like, there's so many different characters in there, but there's obviously a lot of overlap in them. And even if you do a bunch of movies, like Will Ferrell, Vince Vaughn, and Adam Sandler didn't have the craziest range and yet are in a bunch of my favorite movies. Like, you can do that. I'm fine with that. I wrote down a few reviews. So I think most people got it. Most people knew what it was when they went to see it. Here are a few reviews of people that maybe didn't know what they were signing up for. This one's from Gary on Google Reviews. He said, disjointed, dismal, devoid of discernible plotline. Those are the good parts. This is my first time in my life that I felt the need to post a movie review. Congrats, friendship. You're that bad. I get dark comedy and, quote, quirky characters. Usually there's something sympathetic within them, something to create an impression that sticks. The lead character starts out as an awkward guy who you might want to try to give a chance, but proves to irredeemably be weird as his personality melts down and the what just happened chaos continues. Try as I might, I couldn't find a single likable character nor a gotta hate him bad guy in the entire movie. Just a parade of people you'd avoid in real life. One star.
But that's like, that's such a stupid thing to say because like those people exist. Like you can't stop weird people from being weird. You can't stop people awkward from being awkward. Like it's not, everything has to be like good guy, bad guy.
I agree. This one's from Christian Toto who writes for Hollywood and Toto.
Oh God.
He says, Tim Robinson brings his singular style to the big screen. You've been warned. 2 out of 4.
Nerd. Fuck you, nerd.
Rory from Google Reviews wrote, what a piece of shite. Wife and I walked out 75 minutes into it. Save your money. Speaking of money, Paul Rudd should be ashamed for participating in this payday. I thought he was better than that.
So they walked out of the movie with 20 minutes left?
I was going to say, with like credits, they missed the final 10 minutes. Just stick around.
Like, stick around at that point.
Like, you don't even know how it ends.
Yeah. Oh, you showed them.
Yeah.
And it's so stupid. Like, they got your money. So, like, what do they care?
75 minutes?
Yeah.
You basically made it the whole thing. Also, I don't think Paul Rudd probably made a lot of money for this.
I don't think so either. I mean, he was the executive producer on it, but I don't think he made a ton of it. I think he just did it just for, like, because he knew the script was good and it was funny.
Samantha on Google Reviews wrote, I have no idea what the fuck we just watched. It would like a refund. 1 star. All right.
I mean, there are those moments that you're just like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All right. So for me, it's a must watch. I think for our podcast listeners who I would say 99% enjoy, yeah. I think you should leave. It would be a must watch. I'm curious, Rye, what is your dork score for friendship?
I was struggling with this, like driving home, like from the theater, thinking about this movie, because I want to say it's like a 4.5, 5, but it's going to get, I promise you, like if you ask me 6 months from now, it's going to go up because I need to watch it again. I feel like I didn't get the whole thing. But my gut reaction says 5.
I'm going rock hard 6.
Yeah, I knew you would. That's why I feel like I have, because like I could do 4.5, but it would go to 6 because I need to watch it 3 more times.
I feel like by the end of this, you'll feel good about your 5.
And there's, the more that I think about it now, there's like little bits and pieces that I'm like, I was going to give it a 4.5, but then as we were talking, I'm like thinking about, because like there's lines that I missed, the nice like little lines that I caught,
dude,
that make it a 5.
Connor O'Malley's 2 scenes give it a whole stone higher.
So the scenes where I was talking about, they were in one specific setting. It's in his Craig's garage.
When he pops in and he's talking to him. And
they start screaming at each other.
And he's talking to him about how great his wife is. And he's like, I would love to be with her. I would love to even be like a non-sexual with her.
Like
he's
non-sexual just, partner, like a business partner.
Screaming at her. And then the best ever is his like final line in the movie. Connor.
Yes, exactly. I laughed out loud.
He takes over because there's like the back and forth. So there's Craig, which is Tim Robinson's character. He gives like this lame speech for his wife. Then her like high school boyfriend, Devin, like takes over. Then Connor O'Malley jumps up. And then at the end, he's like, and I'll leave you with this. We never should have pulled out of Afghanistan.
I don't know what we're doing. He's wearing like the Vietnam vet hat on, but he's clearly not a Vietnam vet.
Such an insane thing to say. I got a big pop out of me. Also, speaking of my wheelhouse, the perfect use of Slipknot. They use Slipknot twice. One of the greatest songs ever recorded. Yeah, Wait and Bleed.
Yep.
Big weekend for Slipknot, by the way. They were written in the Seattle theater in Last of Us. On the wall, they had like a bunch of stuff, and one of the names was Slipknot.
That's awesome. They kept calling it punk.
Yeah.
And it's not punk.
What did you think of Paul Rudd's band, which I forget the name of it? It was like, fuck,
like Mayor something sucks.
Sucks. Yeah.
Mayor Nichols sucks. Pretty good.
Yeah, not bad.
They're pretty good.
I love the fact that Tim Robinson's character gets his clothes from Ocean View Dining, which also does food.
And like, every time he was in the whole movie, he was in that big, stupid khaki coat, and he just looks so fucking dumb in it.
So
and he's like, oh, their clothes fit me perfectly, and none of the clothes fit him perfectly.
Dude, it's also a food place. What? It's a
diner. Ocean View Diner is where he gets his clothes.
It's where he gets his clothes. That killed me. And they called back to it like twice. And the whole time I'm thinking, like, you can go get, he's like, you can get like a burger there or whatever. Like, he's like, you can get like food.
They make food.
Yeah.
They make food too. Like, it's called a diner. Like, yeah. That's their primary thing. They also make clothes.
And the secondary thing would be the clothes that you get. I also love the scene, like, at his house where he's just like sitting there. And then all of a sudden his kid like kisses his wife on the mouth and he just like looks at her and he's like, you're kissing on the lips now? Like,
what? Kiss on the mouth? Like, it was funny because that happened. Did I ever tell this story? I was playing juniors. And we had some kids on the team who were like younger. So you could play juniors whenever, but like this kid was like 17 or 18. And I was 20, 21. Mm-hmm. And we're getting on the bus to go to like RPI or something for like a weekend thing. And his dad drops him off and he kissed his dad on the lips and he got on the bus and we're all like, looking like, dude, that's fucking weird. He's like, no, it's not. We're like, yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Yes, yeah. It is. Like, you're 18 yeah, years old or 17. You kissed your father on the lips. Like, that's weird.
Strange. It's a strange thing. Listen, it's strange. Maybe he thinks it's strange that we don't, but I'm just telling him. I think it's strange that he does. You knew the kind of movie we were in store for at the very beginning where they're sitting around like the counseling session. And his wife is talking about like how like she's not sure if she'll ever have an orgasm again. And then he's like his face like looking at her. And then he's like, I'm orgasming
fine. I orgasm just fine, by the way.
The clip that they put out as one of like the teasers for it when he's at work and he fills his coffee up to the absolute brim. And then he fucking walks down the hallway. He's like, hey, Java King. And he's just careful. Full cup coming through.
And they cut it out. The guy gets in front of him, hey, Java King. And he goes, fucking moron.
Yeah, like a giant cup bringing it down.
Everybody who walks by with a giant cup of coffee now is now the Java King.
Java King. I love it.
And our friend Tristan, Bessie, now wants to be called permanently the Java King.
He wants to be Java King. That could be his thing.
It could be you, man. Yeah.
I love how the guy's night turns into like them like boxing in the garage.
But that again, like, I've done that.
We would do that, yeah. But
like
he gets hit twice in the face, and then he like lays him in. Like,
oh, he just fucking suckers him.
And then he eats the fucking bar of soap.
Are we into spoilers yet?
Oh, are we?
I don't know. It doesn't matter. Yeah. But yeah. The other scene I was laughing at, too, was when he tries to have his own guys' night with the dudes from work, and they keep spoiling the Marvel movie. So we have to add this to the soundboard when he finally kicks him out. He's like, that's it! What the fuck? He's like, I told him no fucking spoilers. Like, we have to do, like, before we do spoilers, we have to do that sound. Yeah.
That's good. Yeah,
no spoilers.
No spoilers for any of the Marvel. It's like, yeah, like that scene from the trailer too, where he's like telling us about there's a new Marvel coming out, but he like brings it back like multiple times. It's supposed to be nuts.
Like, it's driving people crazy.
And they start talking, and they're talking about like an old one too, and he's like cuts them off.
Yeah,
yeah. The guys like good. How about the guys' night at Paul Rudd's, where there's a guy named Jimp, and he's like Jimp, and he's like, yeah, it's like jump, but with an I.
But I love how pissed off he got. He was like, you got a new guy?
Yeah.
Like
oh, my God. Anytime Paul Rudd's hairpiece fell off, I fucking laughed my ass off. And like how none of his friends even know it. And then he like distracts him at the end so he won't see it. He's got just blown hairpiece.
But I also love how like Paul Rudd's character is like supposed to be like this ultra cool guy, but he also sucks like at his job. Like people hate him. Like people hate him too.
Well, that one girl's a hard. She's a tough anchor. She's like a morning. Yeah. There's more pressure on the morning show than at nights.
But he like sucks at it too. Like you watch him be a weatherman, and he stinks at it.
Yeah, I mean he was a little rattled because
Tom
Robinson showed up.
You dressed like a doll. You want to smoke a cigarette, doll?
He goes. So I read this. There was a story written about the movie where they were saying how Paul Rudd has like I love you, man. There's some similarities, but he's playing like the other role now. Yeah, yeah. Before he was like the loser. Now he's playing like the cool guy. But also because he's got the mustache and the hair, he looks a lot like Brian Fantana from Anchorman.
Yeah.
And apparently in the original script, his character's name was Brian. And Paul Rudd was like, the only thing he asked to change is like, maybe we don't name him Brian. And the guy's like, yeah, that's fine.
So, it's like, I didn't think of that. So what was his name? And then it was
Austin.
Austin. Yeah.
Do you,
I love how he drives the van like over the speed bumps, which he created.
Yep.
And then,
he got him in there.
Missed. I think he was trying, was he trying to hit the car and just missed? Cause he went over the speed.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Because he was going faster, like he was going to ram into the Corvette and then like hit the speed bump and just missed.
So good. The scene where he's like tripping balls and he's like licking the toad.
What was the, he's like, that kid had a great line too. He's like, my name's Tony, but like when I take my ponytail out, I'm T-bone or something like that.
Oh, fuck. Yeah. He like lays him down on the back. He's like, if you want anything a little bit more strong, like anything stronger.
He's like, I ordered a sub at Sub. He's like, I was at Subway. He's like, what'd you do? Did you like travel through space and time? He goes, no, I ordered a sub.
It's so good. It's such a buildup. They zoom in on the toad's face and he kind of is like looking at him after he like listens, he lays down and he literally walked into like a Subway, looked at all the fucking fresh meats, ordered a sub.
A black ham. Black Forest ham sub. No, the best is like he licks the toad and the kid goes, whoa, big lick. He's like, was that too big?
Oh, big lick.
Did you feel like you were tripping for like 4 hours or 4 months? He's like, no, what? I just went to Subway.
What'd you do? Like, I ordered a sub.
There's gotta be some like some symbolism that like we're missing too. It's like, what's with Paul Rudd and like the pomegranates? Like he's pomegranates all over his house.
Oh yeah,
and he gives them pomegranates. Like it's like a whole thing.
Yeah, there's some there, something he's working with. Then he goes and finds his gun. He breaks into his house, gets the gun. That's a pretty amazing scene. And he's like, also him, the physical comedy where he smashes the glass door. Like he like runs right into it. He's like, I didn't see it. I didn't know it was there or whatever. And then like fucking shatters after the fact.
So pomegranates are a symbol of friendship in some cultures, often representing generosity, goodwill, and strong connections between people.
Fantastic.
There you go.
Fantastic. Oh, my God.
I love, too, when he's, like, talking about playing the drums and, like, oh, it doesn't really matter. Like, you just have to be, like, passionate about it. And his first question is, like, what color should I get? Yeah. Like, that matters.
I know. I also like him putting his whole thing, like his drum set piece by piece into like a wagon walking it down to the guy's house.
Meanwhile, his wife needs a new car and he just bought like a $2,000 drum set.
She just wants a bigger car for the flower business, you know?
And why didn't she just use his car, which was a bigger car?
I don't know. And then she ends up going to live with her ex-boyfriend, like in the pool house or whatever. Like, this fucking guy never had a chance.
I was thinking of you. When he was like, because this is like shit you would think is funny. When he's like talking about him going to mornings, he's like, I just got my own office. I eat alone every day. I can eat whatever I want.
It can stink.
Messy. It can stink.
It can stink. That was a great line. I can eat whatever I want in there. Yeah. You just got to ask. You just got to ask his mantra. You just got to ask. I got my own office now.
I love, did you like the scene with the sword?
I did. I did like to see him with a sword.
It's not a sword. Yes, it is. It's for a knight.
I liked this was straight out of I Think You Should Leave. The conference room scene where he's like pitching things to the mayor, and then the fucking other guys that he works with make him like a superhero or some shit. And he's like, I'm gonna kick your ass. He's like,
oh, you spilled water. You spilled water.
You're a fucking coward when he fucking screws the guy because he won't use his pitch. And then he ends up being like a meter man or whatever. Isn't he like a he's doing car tickets?
Yeah. Everyone fucking hates me. You've been working out? Yeah, I've been walking a lot. It's my job. Everyone's so mean. Oh, with the kids leaving him when he's tripping, he's like, oh, I did a little bit of work for Red Bull. They were so fucking mean to me.
That killed me. That killed me in the theater because he's like, Yeah, the guy. You said he was getting a Red Bull, or you like asked him if he wanted a Red Bull?
I got to leave because I'm on my lunch break. I got to go get something and some Red Bull.
Yeah. I used to work for Red Bull. That's fucking mean to me. Also, the sound he made when he was in the sewer and he was like trying to hop up onto the thing.
Oh, the screaming?
Just like the screaming. But then he was like stuck, and like almost like he knocked the wind out of him. It's great.
I got stuff all over me.
Yeah, it's Jimp. It's like, it's Jump.
Yeah, I should have made my name Jimp.
Jimp. That, if I have it, that'll be my next gamer tag on PlayStation. Jimp.
Or just Jump with an I. Is your new gamer tag?
Jump with an I. Oh man, what else? That. Oh, I mean, like the movie is what it is, but it's like most comedies, you know, you end up just singling out the fucking hilarious parts. the Red Bull line tickled me.
We're so fucking mean to me.
You're so fucking mean to me.
Okay, yeah, it's a five.
I was gonna say there's a lot of laughs in there, and to your point, some of the shit either that we missed or whatever, or just like with repetition, is gonna be even funnier as we go.
Just like everything he wore was khaki.
Yeah,
like, he's like Colin Robinson. What we do in the shadows? Like everything is khaki. Like everything about him is just boring and weird.
There's gonna be a lot of khaki down there. what is the? When is that Tim Robinson show coming out? He's in.
Oh, the HBO show, the one about like chairs or something.
Yeah, the Chair Company. I think it's called Chair Company.
Yeah.
When is that bad boy coming out? Is what I want to know. Let's see. The Chair Company says 2025.
It's running out of time. Probably the fall, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, where are we? Already end of May.
Yeah.
And follows a man who, after a work mishap, finds himself embroiled in a wide-ranging conspiracy.
It's a Carver hot dog vacuum, but a series.
Zach Kanan's also one of the co-creators of that, so that'll be even more. I think you should leave.
I think the next person to pop in like this oddball comedy thing has to be Connor O'Malley, though. I can't. Right before this, I watched the Detroiters episode with him, with Trevor as his brother.
His brother, yeah,
dripping.
The Drippin' Hogs.
Like he's seen it. The veins and everything.
Well, there's that whole one where he's like screaming at him and he's like, get the deodorant that I got you for Christmas. He's like, I gotta get my Slipknot mask. I fucking love Slipknot.
They must be Slipknot fans.
They must be, dude. They're speaking my language. Yeah, what was the thing that that Connor O'Malley video that we were watching? He does a lot of strange YouTube stuff, and
I was dying laughing. He was on a late night show, I think it was
Seth Meyers,
where he was pitching like the Michael Anthony biopic, the bass player from Van Halen. And he's like, what? And he's just like making like the face, like, let's see, I got it. Like,
yeah,
I
that's kind of research
into the characters. Yeah, like,
that's kind of it. Dude, he was wearing what was the shirt and hat that he was wearing? He had Oh, Pipe Rock Theory? Was it Pipe Rock Theory? Oh, his hat just said blow job. And then his t-shirt said, who ate all the pussy? Giant block letters. He's wearing them together. He has the fucking blow job hat and who ate all the pussy shirt.
Oh my God.
Well, because he was the one that did the whole Frankenstein's...
Frankenstein's girl?
Yeah, Frankenstein's girl. Frankenstein's girl on... or what is it? Sped Up?
Sped Up, yeah.
Guy, people hate it. People hate it so much.
Is he still married to Aidy Bryant?
Yeah, I believe so. I think they've been together for a long time.
What a funny household that would be.
Oh my God, the laughs. The laughs, Ryan, that they would have. All right. Anyway. If you guys saw Friendship, let us know what you thought. I'm sure you loved it. I am looking forward to another watch. Got to give that another. Oh,
them singing My Boo?
Good one.
What was that?
Forgot about, why not? I completely forgot about that.
Yeah. You guys were at the end where they're like done, like they're trying to kick him out of the house, and he's just like, you guys just want to sing or something? Yeah.
No. Yeah, it's tough. I'm like, I gotta trying to remember all the shit.
That's what I'm saying. I have to watch the whole thing again.
Yeah. No, it's good call on that. Good call. Yeah. All right, next week is TBD. Although Tires is coming back, so maybe we'll do like a season one. Because I don't know if we ever talked about it in totality. Maybe we'll do like a season one Tires, and then the following week maybe we'll do season two.
Oh, so you know what I started watching, brother? This is like my unofficial pick of the pod. I started watching this. You might actually enjoy this. Were you a Pee Wee Herman fan growing up?
Not really. HBO's got a documentary on him, right?
And it's really fucking interesting. I watched the first part of it, and it's like, so Paul Rubens, Pee Wee Herman, died like 2 years ago?
Yeah, recently.
Or like a year and a half ago?
Yeah.
And this was all shot. Like he... So it says in the beginning, like the filmmakers didn't know that he had been battling cancer for 6 years. Like he knew he was dying and like decided to do this documentary. Cause he says in the beginning, like there's a couple things I just kind of want to set straight, which are like, great. But like the people, like when he was in the Groundlings, like he was one of those like improv guys, like the fucking, he graduated from CalArt with like, Katie Sagal.
Oh yeah.
Peg Bundy.
Yep.
And fucking David Hasselhoff.
How about that?
Like in his class. And then he went to the Groundlings with like Phil Hartman, Elvira, the woman who Charlie's mom from It's Always Sunny, who was like lady, whatever in like she was lady, I forget her name. But like the amount of people who Phil Hartman was with him too.
Yeah, you said that. Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, I'll watch that. Is it a one off or is it a series?
It's two parts. I think it's part one, part two. But it's like they're both like an hour and a half each. And I watched the first part.
All right. Very good. We'll check that out. All right.
Tim Burton gets interviewed, which is a rare thing.
Oh.
For Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
He was good in Blow and he was good in Mystery Men.
Him on 30 Rock too is like that weird prince.
Yeah.
In the wheelchair. Was good. Really funny too. Yeah. All right. Sorry. We're trying to wrap this up. Yeah.
All good, dude. All good. Hit us up, Dork Podcast on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. And you can email us anytime, dorkpodcast@gmail.com. We'll leave you with this.
Too much fucking shit on me. I can't breathe.
The hashtag Dork Podcast.